hearts did yield unto Cupid as king, and dying for mistresses was no strange thing, when maids without coyness did candidly deal, and me loved with constancy, faith, and true zeal. There lived a fair pair of true lovers in Greece, who have still been accounted as love's masterpiece. The youth was called Pyramus, Thisbe the maid. Their love was immortal and never decayed. But alas, their affections were crossed by sad fate, to wit, by the feud and immortal debate that had been fomented for many years' space between both their families and their whole race, which made the fair couple, though scorched with love's fire, still smother their flames and conceal their desire. They sighed still in private and wept all alone, and dared not discover a tear or a groan. They sighed all the night and they gazed all the day, thus weeping and gazing and sighing away their languishing lives, which they spent all in tears, in sighs and in groans and in amorous fears. And when the whole world was composed in a sleep, their grief kept them waking to sigh and to weep. Thus wandering all night to the stars they complain of hardship, of fate, of their torments and pain. But when they no longer those pains could endure, their love did begin for to seek out some cure. And so they appointed one night for to meet in some neighboring valley, and therefore to greet, and thence fly away to some far distant cave, to love at their leisure, contented to have the joys of each other, and there let love's flame burn quietly out without danger of blame. And so when that Phoebus had run out his race, fair Thisbe came first into the meeting place. Impatient she stood and expected her dear. She thought that each moment he stayed was a year. Then under a mulberry tree down she lies, but scarce was laid down when she presently spies a grim and fierce lion, besmeared all with blood, came wandering down from the neighboring wood. Away run the nymph to a cave in a fright. She flies, and her mantle is lost in the flight, which the bloody lion takes up in his paws. He tears it, and then with the rags wipes his jaws. Soon after, poor Pyramus came for to find his long-wished-for Thisbe, but fate proved unkind. For when divine joys he did hope for to have, he found but a winding sheet, death and cold grave. For when that he saw his love's mantle all tore, bedewed all with blood and besmeared all with gore, and then saw the lion trot over the plain, he falsely concluded his Thisbe was slain. Oh, who can express the vast torment and smart the pangs and the anguish and grief of his heart. He made the woods ring with his pitiful moans. The rocks and the mountains did echo his groans. Alas, said Pyramus, could she then find no help from the gods? Are they so unkind? Or else have they stole her away from our sight, and so robbed the earth to make heaven more bright? Oh, tell me, kind stars, come and tell me but where my Thisbe is gone, and I'll follow, my dear, to death wounds already I bear in my breast, once wounded by love and by grief now oppressed. I weep out my life and I sigh out my soul. I'll groan for my love till my carcass grows cold. A mantle I'll take for my sad winding sheet. In that mournful posture my Thisbe I'll meet. But a languishing death comes with too much delay. Great grief is impatient of so long a stay. I'll make greater haste to my love, at which word the youth stabbed himself to the heart with his sword. By this time fair Thisbe was come from her cave, so pale that she riz like a ghost from its grave. For when she her Pyramus dying did see, she looked much more like to a carcass than he. You'd have thought that the nymph would before him have died. She fell on his body, then mournfully cried, "Oh, why, my dear Pyramus, why so unkind? Why run you away and leave Thisbe behind?" At Thisbe's sweet name the youth lifts up his eyes. He looks and he sighs and then shuts them and dies. He gazed till he died, then content with the sight, away to Elysium his soul took its flight. And Thisbe did after it presently fly. She struggled and strove and make haste her to die. And such haste she made in o'ertaking her dear, she ne'er stayed to complain nor scarce drop a tear. Her tender and gentle heart soon burst with grief, and death stole away her fair soul like a thief. Then down her cold body she lay by her love, both pitied by all the kind gods of the grove. The amorous turtles and nightingales sung their obsequies, and in sad notes then else sung. And each loving beast of the wood left his cave, and came for to make the dead lovers a grave.